This is Weekday. I'm Steve Scher. When the mayor of Seattle declared an emergency, a crime emergency, Deputy Chief Nick Metz came out in public to the media and again in other forums and said people have got to start talking to the police because people are getting shot. And, of course, there is a culture that says don't talk to the cops. So I just wanted to ask Larry Mizell, who is in a hip-hop band called Don't Talk to the Cops.
Yes.
And Chocolate Moore, who is a musician. I'm not going to make you represent, but I want your thoughts about this. Because often when Nick Metz, for example, is talking about don't talk to the cops, he's talking about African-American culture, right? Or is he talking about ghetto culture or poor culture? I mean, how do you interpret even the like who he's directing that to?
I mean, in the it's all of those things.
And
yeah.
The above. Young people culture? Would it be a young person culture?
Young people definitely don't think it's a good idea to talk to the cops.
Urban.
Is it urban? I was even thinking, is it rural? I mean, I you read about crimes that take place in meth areas or rural Kentucky. I was reading a long story about rural Kentucky and meth addiction there.
It depends on where you grow up.
Don't talk to the cops.
If you grow up and every experience you have is the cops coming to your neighborhood when something's wrong to fix it, then you probably don't have an issue talking to the cops. But if you grow up in an area where every time you see the cops, someone who you know or love is, you know, being harassed or beat up or interrogated or detained unfairly or... there's a death occurring, then you're probably going to shy away from talking to those people. If you see something or someone every time something negative is going on, you're not going to associate.
So what happened to you where you were growing up? What was the message?
And it's funny because I'm thinking about it, like why I have this perspective. And my nephew and I, Cuddy, someone died in his arms. I was across the street and, you know, we knew this guy and... You know, he's a young dude just trying to survive, not a bad person or anything, but, something bad had happened. Long story short, there was a shootout or whatever, and we knew him, and he ran over there and picked him up and was trying to make him wake up, and the cops were there, and they didn't do anything. So it wasn't even so much that they'd done something. It was that they stood there with my nephew's this young kid. I don't even think we were early teenagers. And they let him hold this guy, and they let him die. And they were standing across the street talking like water cooler talk.
Hmm.
Yeah. Hmm. And you grew up around that, and you don't think it's...
They didn't do anything.
Yeah. There's no upshot to talking to the police coming from those... You know, I don't know who Nick Metz is talking to, who he thinks he's talking to when he says...
He needs to talk to the cops.
That's what I'm saying. Ultimately, yes. He's addressing like a The only people that think it's a good idea to talk to the cops are likely of a certain class.
Well, there's that whole don't snitch attitude. But
it's a lose-lose if you do.
Is it a lose-lose?
I think
generally.
The stop snitching thing, that's kind of abused. Snitching is when you do a crime with somebody and you get caught and you turn in your cronies.
Oh.
Now, there's a murderer in your neighborhood. There's a serial killer in your building. You know, Cameron, a rapper, was on 60 Minutes, and they asked him, you know, and he said, oh, I wouldn't tell anybody I had a serial killer in the apartment next to me. Okay, that's dumb. That's not snitching.
It's going to come kill you.
Okay, you don't want people victimizing your community, and that's the whole reason people don't talk to the police.
Right.
I say don't tell the people to talk to the cops. Talk to the cops, like you said, Chocolate. Talk to them, because when I look at the police, the only cop I would ever want to talk to is somebody who's basically an outcast from the department.
Right.
Now, why do you say that?
Because...
What's your experience been?
My experience has been pulled over, harassed, roughed up, seen friends died. It's disgusting. A lot of
here
people...
Here and in where you grew up in...
Here and in Los Angeles, yes. In South Seattle and in South Central LA.
It's really interesting here because the funny thing is when really terrible things happen, the way it's handled, it instills no confidence in the...
None.
When that guy, granted that big mouth girl, remember that girl that was on TV and he punched her in her face?
Yeah.
Granted, she was out of line, she was out of bounds. The fact that he could not restrain her without... punching her square in her face was just a testament at how inept some of these gentlemen are that have these badges and these guns. And, you know, it doesn't make you think I'm safe. It makes you think chances are if you lose your fuse, I might die or I might be assaulted or something like that. And
you said that sometimes the African-American cops are even more of a problem.
Oh, yeah, that's a well-documented thing. Karis went out a song called Black Cop in the early 90s, I want to say. It was all about that, for sure. That was in the movie, what was it, Boys in the Hood?
Yeah.
Yeah, because the black cop, especially, as it's noted, if he has a white partner, allegedly, the idea is he's got something to prove, especially if dealing with young African-Americans. Right. So he's going to show, no, I'm
on
the side of right.
That's right.
You know,
you end up being unfairly targeted in those situations.
And I will say, I've had that very experience.
We have as well.
So what do we do? What do we do when we have? I mean, part of what the Seattle police were talking about in this emergency is a surge in shootings in the South End, is what they were mostly talking about.
Sure.
Right.
So what's the way forward from your perspective? You said the brass should talk to other officers.
I mean,
that's not going to solve all the murders and stuff that's around the drug trade and turf war that's going on in the streets. No. How do you solve that? I wish I knew. Honestly do. I think it's bigger than, you know, call officer friendly. I think it's bigger than that. I think it deals with big societal problems that, you know, America wants to sweep under the rug.
You mean racism?
Yeah. Well,
that's part of it. For sure. Yes. All of these
things. Being born into a system that is so hard to get out of that once you do, you're almost participating in a form of self-hatred if you actually get beyond.
Oh, well, that's a tough thing to even, I mean, that conception is, that's hard to unravel if that's the way it goes.
Well, I mean, you think about it. You're born into a system. You didn't have a choice. You don't have, you're responsible. I'm responsible as a young African American woman to walk out of my door every morning as if everything that I see in front of me is available to me. And then I'm charged with working 10 times harder than anyone else just to be treated equally. And you don't want to talk about it. And then if you ever do talk about it, you're totally, don't ever bring it up because you're just bitter.
Right. And don't testify before Congress when Rush Limbaugh is listening.
Right. Yeah. And then you see people that have not managed to look at the invisible walls in their lives, and you're frustrated with it because they're not even aware. There are some people in my culture that are not even aware or awake to why they are how they are and why we do some of the things that we do, self-sabotaging things that don't further the cause of success.
So there are groups that, street soldiers, I'm trying to remember some of the groups we've talked to. They're not police officers or ex-police officers. They're mostly either ex-gang members or guys that have gotten out of prison or guys who have come to this through faith or just seeing their neighborhoods change. All right, so they go out into the community and they try to work with these young kids and say, look, don't shoot each other.
Right.
It's basically
right.
their message.
Right.
How do we complete the circle so that police are part of that trusting atmosphere? Or is it just not even the way we go?
Institutionally, I don't know how the police are going to facilitate, unless there is something in place where that happens, where they're facilitating ex-gang members, you know, guys who are locked up, talking to kids. I think that is something that's going to be a lot more effective.
Right.
Because those kids in the streets are listening to cats like them. They're listening to their OGs. The thing is, a lot of those guys are sending them off to die or sending them off to make them more money. So if some of them have had a change of heart, and you know, historically there's been many, a lot of the biggest gang lords of
Tukey.
Yeah, for sure. Have written about what people need to do to get out of these situations.
To reverse it,
Those guys are necessary. Kids aren't going to listen to cops because of just history and everything until people trust the police. And in Seattle, Washington, we're a long way from that.
And we're not even with this. The level of crap here, I think, is pastel colored, if you will, compared to other neighborhoods and other cities.
But still bad enough.
It is. All of it's bad
level
enough.
Of trust.
Justice Department had to come out here, you know, for sure. But I think it's at least that ugly just about everywhere in every major city.
Or worse.
At the very least. Or worse, for sure.
You know what I think would be my thought about this as far as how do we fix the cops, if you will, is it's too easy to become a cop in the first place. There's no real, I mean, you've got to go through a rigorous training sort of thing, but there's no real ledger. There's no real requirement, you know. Just don't have anything bad on your record for the most part. But there are a lot of people that get away with a lot of things before they come to... And how do we test people's psyche? How do we get to the core of a human being before we put a gun in their hands and charge them with protecting? You know, you got to look at, you know, people's parents and where they come from, and you don't judge them from that. But that has to be a part of the process when you're choosing people to have that level of power. And once there is a mistake made, the sticking together and not holding people accountable is the sickest, most disgusting element of that gang called the police.
Right.
But the system has to change at some point for there to be taxpayers.
They're becoming ineffective.
Taxpayers, though, well, yeah, that's what you're telling me. But taxpayers, right, you're paying taxes for a system that you're not finding helping your neighborhood or yourselves.
Well, if they could opt out of that, believe me, a lot of people would.
What, paying the taxes?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Or paying taxes for that.
Yeah. If you could opt out of paying police salaries, a lot of people would. Now, of course,
because they don't
feel
they're being served at all.
Yeah. A lot of people would be like, well, that's ridiculous. What are you going to do when blah, blah, blah happens? A lot of things happen and people don't turn to the police because they're not returning your stuff. They're not bringing your loved ones back to life.
Right.
They're not going to return you to a state of intactness mentally or physically after something happens. They're just going to traumatize you more, and that's what people find.
That's just what I was going to tell you. In 2009, October 2008, my brother was murdered point blank range. As far as we know, the cops know who did it, and he's never been brought to justice. This kid, I mean, he's a frequent offender. In and out of jail consistently. And, you know, my brother wasn't a saint by any means, but he wasn't a violent person. He wasn't, you know, he was a father, he was a son, he was a brother, he was my best friend. Our birthdays are days apart. And when he passed, because his past was less than stellar, you know, it was treated as if, well, you know, he had some weed in his pocket, so, you know, there's nothing we can do. He was committing a crime because he had weed in his pocket. And because that's the case, we're not going to help you with the burial. We're not going to, you know, look after this guy. I mean, really.
And this was your neighbors and friends, or this was authorities?
These were the authorities. They just had no interest in figuring out why it happened or who had done it or any of that.
Because he had weed in his pocket.
Because he had weed in his pocket. And maybe, you know, maybe a blunt behind his ear or something like that. But that was the...
He was a criminal.
Well,
that's how
that was the,
He was on.
I don't think it was the weed per se, but he had already been in the system. And to have that was against the law, and he was breaking a law. And once they determined that, we got no assistance. We got, you know, there's no counseling. There's nothing. And that doesn't make you want to turn to them. In my eyes, we should have just called the coroner, the business that we knew would take care and respect the body, and we should have cleaned it up ourselves. They harassed us when we went to have a vigil there where he passed. They harassed us, you know, during the funeral process, you know, sort of the celebrating his life thing. They harassed us, too many of us in one location. They showed up and it wasn't to support us, you know. And that whole, when you said more traumatizing, you really hit the nail on the head, because him passing was not the worst part of that.
Yeah.
Situation.
Hmm. Don't Talk to the Cops is the name of your band.
Yeah.
Why? And are there songs about these issues?
No. We're not really a political band in terms of we write songs ostensibly about societal situations like that. It's kind of just a statement we wanted to make, just inherent in our name, that we knew resonated with people. And that name came about after John T. Williams was killed, very close to where we all live. Me and other band members live a block apart up on Capitol Hill, real close to where he was gunned down. I'm born in Howell. And just that general level of disrespect and disregard for lives, just the short worth so many are treated with, was just something we felt like we want that to be the name. You know, we don't have to be out there grandstanding or soapboxing, but that's a part of us. That's like where we live, where we're from. that's just part of it. So I know people don't like the name. There was an interview that my colleague from The Stranger did where he played some songs for a police officer. And I don't think the officer took too kindly to it, but...
Because they were from a band called Don't Talk to the Cops?
Yeah.
That's the only reason.
That I think that's it.
The inability to be unbiased in that situation speaks volumes.
I mean, why... I would hope,
or at least if you're biased, you want them to assess it.
Right.
Why you're saying that.
Exactly.
Right.
I would think that... I mean, I wasn't there when that interview happened. Maybe he understood why certain people wouldn't want to talk to the cops. It's interesting, too, because after we started the band, we noticed that there's somebody who's been... They've got a stencil. They've been tagging that around. Don't talk to the cops. It has nothing to do with us. But I've just seen that around. It's a feeling in the air, you know? It's the zeitgeist. People don't want to deal with the police.
Let me ask you a last question here. When we talked last week to Rick Williams, John T. Williams' brother, on the occasion of their putting in place at below the Space Needle at Seattle Center, the totem pole that he and hundreds of people from across the country had carved and built and installed. When the interview's over, he said, they took something beautiful from us, and we gave them something beautiful back. And in context of what we're talking about, what do you think of that response? Not to say he was not angry, and not to say he was not talking in the interview about how he would have liked to have seen a trial for Ian Burke and a conviction. But that was how he ended it. I mean, do you see your work that way in some ways?
I do. Yeah. I think that. I mean, at least just in my group. Yeah, absolutely. We're not called shoot a pig in his face. We're called Don't Talk to the Cops, and we do fun music that makes people dance and. I think if you're able to take, and I think this is a big part of the ingenuity that comes from the place that made hip hop and everything else, to take that pain and that experience and spin it into something that's beautiful to people, maybe not everybody, that's powerful. And that's making positivity out of what was negative. That's just the nature of original human ingenuity, I think, you know.
Survival mode.
Absolutely.
That's what that is.
Yeah.
You know, as far as his response being so peaceful and not laced with hate or anger, that tells you what people have to sort of embody in order to continue after these sorts of instances without being bitter and angry and vengeful. And it doesn't ever really equate to healing, but it's the best thing you got sometimes, is to look at the situation that you really can't do anything about and make something good of it. I don't think any of us has the answer, you know, to some of the situations that we deal with in our communities, especially urban communities. More so than we have the opportunity to be our best selves in every environment, in every situation, and to challenge each other with all of our biases and racisms. And we all have them, you know, whether you like to admit it or not. Every human being on earth has them. And if you can be your best self despite those inherent differences, I feel like that's all I got to survive. That's all I got. So,
Chocolate Moore is a singer-songwriter. Her new album, To Whom It May Concern. Larry Mizell is a musician, a writer, a DJ. His band is Don't Talk to the Cops. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thanks.